You are listening to Cinema Rolls with your host, Ben Wiggins. Welcome to Cinema Rolls. I am your host, Ben Wiggins, and this is our Take Two podcast. With me today is once again my good friend, Cody Ryrie from Cinematic Syndrome. Great. And today we're covering a Gene Wilder film, 1976, Silver Streak. Well, first off, if this is your first time listening to our podcast, what we do is we take older films, decide on if they were made today, how we would do it, who would play in it, who would direct it, all of that. If we had complete creative freedom. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. So go ahead and take the time to watch the movie if you have not yet. As we are recording this, it is still available on Netflix. And once you're done, come back to us. Welcome back. We're glad you joined us. Hopefully you didn't take as long to come back as it did for Richard Pryor to show up in this movie.
That's true.
But we're going to get started with the casting of the choices of who we would like to cast for this movie. Do you have any thoughts about casting choices? I'd like to talk about characters, kind of go back and forth about what we got.
Well, I have an overall philosophy with the film.
Okay.
And that informed all of the casting.
Okay.
And so just I'll give you a brief intro to what my idea was for the film, and then we'll go into the specifics.
Sounds great.
There's been a kind of a subgenre of films recently that's like the old fogey comedy. Or, you know, like, I'm thinking of, like, Red and Red 2, and maybe even, like, Bucket List. Las Vegas, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's these movies where you get these, it's all based on older characters. And I thought that might be an interesting way to take...
That sounds wonderful.
...this movie, because they're popular. They've been doing well. And when I thought about actors to cast, once I had that in place, it became easy to fill all the portions. Now, that's not the only change I've made.
Okay.
But that's the big overriding philosophy.
That sounds wonderful. I will still talk about my ideas, but I think I'm going to kind of jump on board with that philosophy. Okay, so we're doing Old Fogey Train, Silver Streak here. Silver-haired Street. who did you have as Gene Wilder's character, George, the main character of the film?
Yes. All right, I'm doing something else with this, too.
Okay.
I'm switching the races.
Okay.
Of the Gene Wilder character and the Richard Pryor character.
Oh, great.
And I have very specific reasons, which we can get into later.
I thought about that a lot.
Yeah.
And I actually almost went that route. So I want to hear who you got going.
Okay. Well, at first, because I was thinking about all these movies, Las Vegas and Red, my first thought was Morgan Freeman.
Right. So
but
popular.
It seemed a little too on the nose, too obvious. I thought, let's give somebody else a chance. So I came up with Danny Glover as my choice for that character. Because I don't know. I think he's got a lot of range. And I think he could play a little more spastic if he wanted to.
But is he old?
Yeah, Danny Glover's old now.
Wait. I think there's two Danny Glovers.
There's a Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. Okay,
that's the young guy who was in Spider-Man.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
No, Danny Glover, he was in The Color Purple. He's an older guy now. I think he's probably in his 70s now.
Definitely.
So, anyway, he's got good comedy skills. He's done a lot of comedy. He was in all the Lethal Weapon movies with Mel Gibson.
Yes.
So, got the comedy skills, and I think he could also do... an older, late-in-life romance that could be sweet that I wanted to bring into it. So, yeah, I picked Danny Glover for that part.
That's a great choice, Danny Glover. When I was thinking about the film, I was thinking about Gene Wilder has such an energy to him. And it's so hard to describe. And I was trying to come up with a whole bunch of different people, and I was stumped. And my wife just, off the bat, why don't you think about doing Damian Lewis? Damian Lewis has done a lot of film recently. But I know him most notably from TV, a show in 2009 called Life, and then 2011, Homeland. I didn't watch Homeland that much. But he's a very tall, red-haired character and just has kind of a silly energy about him that I thought would do good for the movie. He just, I think he could do the role. But again, like I said, let's go with Danny Glover.
It's a hard role to cast because... Yes, it's Gene Wilder, and so it's kind of quirky and crazy and energetic, but he also has to be a credible romantic lead and kind of carry the movie, so he can't be quirky and crazy the whole time.
Right.
And so it has to be able to do both. So I'm not familiar with that actor that you named. I don't watch a lot of TV, But that's something to keep in mind, I guess, when you cast it. My wife, before I came up with this whole geriatric Silver Streak idea, she said that I was thinking who's, you know, crazy and energetic and whatever. And she thought Jack Black would be good, but I don't know that he could carry the...
Oh, the rest of it.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? But we didn't go that direction.
Right. Real quick, as we're going through this movie, we need to remember that it was... A lot of it was taken from the Cary Grant style of movies.
Oh, yeah.
North by Northwest.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. These kind of movies influenced this movie. So even though we were casting comedic characters, we also have to think about the other flip side of the role, like you're saying. The drama. Am I really recasting Gene Wilder? Or am I really recasting Cary Grant that happened to be played by Gene Wilder?
Well, here's the thing, though. Because if you look at North by Northwest... You know, is... Oh, I know that guy. He's from Band of Brothers. Yeah.
Band of Brothers.
Yeah, I like that guy. The red-haired dude.
Yeah.
Okay. If you took Cary Grant and you liquefied him, and you poured him in containers, one was cool and suave and one was funny, there'd be things in both containers, but there'd be more in cool and suave than there would be in funny.
Right.
Now, if you liquefied Gene Wilder, there's a lot more in the funny than there is in the cool and suave.
That's true.
So I'm just saying, you make a choice on... how you want to lean. And when they made Silver Streak, they definitely put more cards on funny, quirky.
They did.
You know, because I remember talking to my wife about that. I was like, well, you know, it's got to be a credible romantic lead. And she's like, I don't know if Gene Wilder is a credible romantic lead. I was like, what's your opinion? I think he's attractive. But you just have to decide what kind of movie you want to make with it.
Right.
And I think both of them did fine. Now, this is not Gene Wilder's best role.
No.
You know, Gene Wilder is so good in other stuff, he's become iconic, for crying out loud. I mean, The Producers or Willy Wonka, for crying out loud.
Seriously.
But so, not that he's not bad, he's good in this movie. But Cary Grant is iconic in North by Northwest. So, you just got to decide which direction. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I like where this is shaping up. So, after our main character, the next one we have is Hilly.
Yes.
Which is a very odd name. And I think as part of changing the character up a little, that's something I would
change. The name would go.
Who did you have in mind, Geriatric Hilly? I mean, who do we
got? Okay, well, I have it. I got it figured out.
Yeah.
I picked Angelica Houston.
Okay, what has she played in?
All right, well, she hasn't been in anything in a while. Neither has Danny.
Right.
Or Danny Glover. But the reason I picked her, there was a 2001 movie called The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yes.
That came out. And Danny Glover and Angelica Houston were a couple in that movie.
So they've got
And they chemistry. Had amazing chemistry back then. And they were both, in 2001, this is how old they're getting, they were already older in 2001. And then they're 50s, I think, you know, 2001.
Right.
But they had this really sweet, instant likability together. Mm-hmm. And so I figure, why reinvent the wheel if we know they already have chemistry? And she can be energetic and interesting even in her older age.
Right.
And so that's who I picked to go with them because it's a tried and true thing. I've seen it happen.
Well, I'm going to jump on board with you.
Okay.
For our viewers, I'm going to talk about my choice for the different style of movie. That was going to be Halle Berry, actually.
Oh.
You know, she has been in things recently, but she's kind of dropped off the face of notability.
Yes.
You know, she's played Storm in 5 or 6 X-Men, but nothing else, really.
She keeps doing these weird, like, little kidnapping movies. I think she's done more than one.
Right.
It's an odd little thing to do.
So she played recently in the sequel to... Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Yeah.
And so she has been in other things, but I just think this would put her back on
track. I didn't see the Kingsman sequel, but I heard that she was one of the, even people who didn't like the film liked her in it.
Oh, good.
And wanted more of her in the film.
Good.
So that's always a good sign.
But she would definitely, we know from actually X-Men, that she would need a stronger role.
She
does not like being in small roles.
No.
But that's also really hard to do because, in my opinion, Hilly could be renamed to... being a plot device.
Yeah.
Like, that's all she is.
Yeah.
She's called MacGuffin.
Well, that's the reason he has to get back on the train. It's she does move that. And this is something you could change because it was a product of its time, I think.
Right.
Because she's very much... And also, this is something that's in North by Northwest as well, though. But it made sense with Cary Grant. Like, you know, she throws herself at Gene Wilder, basically.
Yes.
And like I said, when Cary Grant's in the car... and somebody comes up to him and says, hey, you alone? That makes sense. It's Cary Grant.
Right.
You know, with Gene Wilder, it was a little bit more of a stretch. And even in North by Northwest, she was on a mission from... spoiler alert. She was on a mission from the bad guy to get Cary Grant. So I think you have to change that up. I think you've got to give her more to do.
Yes.
And her own story and her own arc and her own motivations.
It's required. It's needed.
Yeah.
One of the things about... it's really odd because through this podcast, I've been researching a lot of different movies that I'd like to do. 50s movies, 40s, 50s movies a lot of them have strong female leads.
Yeah, that's true.
And then some, for some reason, we moved to the 60s and the 70s, like Bullet, which we did ourselves together, and they're relegated to a poster in the background. Like, it's really not there. And even in the past ones, when they couldn't have strong female lead in terms of position, even their dialogue, the way they spoke and the way their minds worked were very strong. Whereas here, again, with Hilly, we're left with nothing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because if you go back to the screwball comedies and the chamber pieces with Katharine Hepburn and stuff in the 40s, they're the driving force of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, the Philadelphia Story, for crying out loud, that's about Katharine Hepburn. I mean, some of the attitudes would be considered inappropriate now.
An old-fashioned.
But yet, she's strong-willed. She's got her own arc. She's a big part of it. And you're right. It did kind of go away for a while there. That's fascinating. I never really thought of it. It's like almost like a response to the feminist movement in the real world.
I don't know.
I want to think about that for a while.
It's a podcast for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to deal with, but definitely that role needs to be revamped.
Expanded. Yeah.
Okay. The next person, third on billing, is Richard Pryor, even though he doesn't show up till three quarters of the way to the movie.
Past an hour.
Yeah.
The movie's like an hour and 45, something like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't show up till over an hour.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But he's such a good role for it.
Yeah.
And I want to know who you have for this role. Now, you said you reversed the race, so we need a white guy?
Correct.
Okay, so who we casting?
Okay, well, this one's a little more of a leap for me. And I don't know. I would just like to see if he could pull it off. That's the idea. And some of these, you know, you cast them because you know they can pull it off.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you cast somebody because you hope they can and you want to see something different. This is another person, like you said, with Halle Berry that hasn't been on the scene in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to see come back. I picked Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's great. Okay. Would you keep the role the same?
No, I don't think I would. Like it would be still be, he'd still be a thief.
Right.
And he'd still be kind of the disreputable part of it.
Right.
But I think you can give some of the manic energy from Gene Wilder's character to
Steve Martin's character. Okay, and make the more a little bit more serious to...
Exactly, okay, exactly. And the reason that I picked Steve Martin was there's probably only one reason, and that was because there's this wonderful scene towards the end of Silver Streak where Gene Wilder has to put on blackface.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, and here's what I wanted to do with Danny Glover is that you switch that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to get Danny Glover out of the thing, Steve Martin has to teach him how to be a white guy. And they have to white out his face. And he has to not be, you know, like, it was already touchy in the original. But if you're going to do it, I think you do something new with it. And that way you can kind of make fun of
the
white people.
Right.
Yeah, and have him do that way and have it do white face, which gets you away from the blackface thing, which has already been done.
I seriously was working on that, the same idea, for the longest time. I thought switching the roles, because blackface is not going to work, and how do you resolve the scene? You do whiteface, and it would be funny, and it would be silly, and it would almost be, on a poignant piece to how ridiculous it is to do blackface in the first place.
Exactly.
I'm going to actually jump into it now. I'll tell you who I would cast for the role, and then we'll jump into that part of the film.
Sure.
And then we'll get to the rest of the cast. I had a pretty good actor in mind, Michael B. Jordan. He was in Creed.
Yeah.
He was in, Fantastic Four, the most terrible Fantastic Four out there. But he was, like, the redeeming force of the entire movie.
Yeah.
He's got chops. And I was thinking of him and his role and the energy he could bring to it. It would bring a little bit more serious energy again, like you're saying. Kind of opposite to your Steve Martin, but giving the black guy in this black and white film, black and white guy film, the more serious role.
And he's younger than, especially, the guy you picked for the other role, the Damian 40s, Lewis. 50s. Yeah, he's in his 50s, I would say, or something around that. And Michael B. Jordan's in his 20s, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
late very young. 20s.
Yeah.
So he is a very young, and so it would kind of be a little bit more of a
maybe a generational divide, maybe some of their conflicts and things. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And so this movie, period, you watched it, so you know, is racially charged.
Yeah.
Not just that one scene in the bathroom, but honestly, all the black people in the movie, they are servants, or they are, you know, knocked around, or they are thieves.
And we're dropping the N-word, several characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's a racially charged movie. In my version that I was kind of coming up with, I didn't want to downplay that, but I wanted to touch on it respectfully, which is the most fine line that you have to follow. I didn't want to downplay it. I just wanted to show the negative side of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So since it's set in Chicago, well, they're on their way to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was going to have that come into it. Modern day take on my part would have been a modern day film. And so the Black Lives Matter movement is really big in Chicago. And it's this big thing. And I was going to take our character and I was actually going to make him a protester. Well, there's more to it than that. I thought a lot about it. He's actually also a thief, but he is also a protester. I mean, it's a dichotomy. Mm. So, you know, the main character, George, would have been like, what'd you get arrested for? Did you steal something? Like, I didn't steal anything. I'm a protester. And talk about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
But then later on, he would break in or steal a car to get them to go away and be like,
yes.
Okay, so I'm also a thief, but I'm a protester.
Yeah.
And I think that the racially charged scene in the airport, if there's Black Lives Matter going on in the background.
That's interesting.
With the blackface,
mm-hmm.
Would be, is he doing blackface because he's making fun of them? Because that's what it's been historically.
Mm.
Or in this case, would he be doing blackface to feel for the Black Lives Matter movement?
You're right. That would be an interesting one to pull off.
Yeah. I mean, very fine line. I don't know if it's possible. That was just where my idea was going. But like I said, I'm scrapping my idea for your idea of the older people. So how would you deal with the other racially charged aspects of the film?
Well, I also chose to make it a modern version because I thought that would be interesting. I had a little bit of a thought. I didn't put as much into it as you did of, you know, we have a lot of racially charged things going on right now with the police and the shootings and all that stuff. And I thought it would be interesting because it's modern, but all your characters have lived in previous eras.
Mm.
There would be a real commentary on, I thought it might be interesting also. And this, it feels like you're walking on eggshells, you know, so, cause you have to be real careful, but I thought it would be interesting if both of them bonded over the fact that, you know, things seem even crazier now than they used to.
Even with fire hoses.
Exactly. That there was this idea that there would be a generational divide between them and the people that were around them.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe something they would connect on is the fact that there was that generational divide. They didn't really understand the world as it was now. Things of that nature. But also it could be, since you have a black main character and a white main character, you have to address that issue. And I thought they could do it interesting with generation and the racial divide. I didn't think about the whole Black Lives Matter and bring that in. That's interesting. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to modernize it, but then how do you deal with all that stuff?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's where I went. But yeah, I like the idea of them having that generational aspect that they can go through.
Well, and that whole, can you believe what the world is like now kind of a thing.
Which is kind of common for
older people. Yeah.
They can cast off some of the things that are happening, but also sympathize for some of the things that are happening. And
even if you want to, I mean, I don't know how far you want to push this.
Well, yeah.
But you could even have one of the characters, this was not part of the original at all, but one of the characters, like the Steve Martin character, have racial inclinations that get dealt with a little bit throughout their relationship and the extremities they have to go through. And, you know, maybe he's like, well, you know, all the police are just doing their job and, you know, and what he's on their side. And then as they get chased by the police,
right? Okay.
He sees a little more of what it's like to be harassed and hounded by police and gets a little more on that side. I'm just spitballing here.
Right, you know, right. But that would be interesting, except he's also a thief. So he's already being caught by the police.
That's true.
But it would also be a different, again, it's kind of a reverse, but give the woman that slightly racially charged, you know, the white people have been doing all this stuff to us through all the years. And then for her to have to soften to this thief, even who's not a good, reputable character, but is helping them out. That would kind of be a different dynamic.
I guess the point being is there's a lot of ground to be hoed there if you want to. You know, there's a lot there, and you can go lots of different directions with it.
That's true.
So.
Okay, so let's talk about the bad guy. I actually really enjoy the bad guy in this film. He has...
Mr. Devereaux
has a good reason for himself, why he's doing what he's doing. It doesn't seem like a cut-in-place, twirly mustache kind of guy. So I have chosen, and I think we could actually even keep this character... Oh, no. Well, we could still. Who's to say that the old guy has to, or the bad guy has to be old?
Maybe a young bad guy would be an interesting, yeah.
I had Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for you guys listening, most notably in my mind, he was Le Chiffre in the Casino Royale playing against...
Well, he was in Rogue One.
He was in Rogue recently, One.
And Doctor Strange, but mm-hmm. the bad guy, Doctor Strange.
So he's good at the bad guy roles. And he just has an energy, I think, of suave that could work with the Devereaux character. Mm-hmm. When the guy's into the fine arts, well, let's be honest, the fake fine arts, he's all into dealing with antiquities. Or forgeries, not antiquities. So I thought that would be kind of a cool person to play. Who'd you have in mind?
Well, same thing, because the thing that comes off the original character is a fake suaveness. So I thought if you gave Colin Firth that role and let him kind of, you know, for once his, you know, real posh exterior, he plays that for a while, but then things, when it turns into a shootout, you could have him be real foul-mouthed you know, like... That drop posh exterior, exactly. Mm-hmm. That posh exterior is a total front. But you'd buy it from Colin Firth, and then the shocking part for the audience would be, "Whoa, you know,
right?"
I think he could act anything.
He could.
So that's, and it also fits the older set, and
it does. Oh, that's interesting, huh?
And you may not see it coming from him because I don't know that he's ever played an out and out
bad guy
villain.
Yeah, I don't think he has. That's a very interesting choice.
And he knows his way around guns now because he's been in the Kingsman.
Yeah, that's true. Which also dealt with that a little bit with Michael Caine, mm-hmm. With that same idea. So that's an interesting take on it. I don't know. I mean, I know he could pull it off. Yeah. I don't know if it's the feel I would want for the movie for the bad guy. Mm. I'd prefer someone more like Mads Mikkelsen, or even if we're talking, all right, Red. I don't know his name off the top of my head. He plays the crazy one.
Oh, John Malkovich?
John Malkovich. Mm-hmm. He would also be good.
I did have that thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he could easily pull off the fake suaveness, I think.
Well, he was wonderful. I don't know if you ever saw Deepwater Horizon.
No.
But he played this company man from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And he was just oil on screen. Just, you know, like it was very suave, but also super like, ooh, you're slimy.
Yeah. I did like him. Guilty admission here. I saw Dead Bodies, I think it's called. It's like a zombie romance film. It's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
And he plays the serious dad that's like fighting the zombie. Warm Bodies, yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Yeah. And he plays the dad. And he did such a good depth in that role, too. I think he can show a hard side and a soft side at the same time. Hmm.
That's true, because Colin Firth would be different in that he's actually suave. The guy in the original Devereaux, he never seems suave to me. He always seems sinister.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to decide if that's what you wanted to go with. Because Mads Mikkelsen would definitely, because he's been kind of typecast as that, would definitely put off the bad guy immediately.
Right, which I'm not sure I want. I kind of want this, is he really the bad guy? Because a couple times in the movie... George bumps into him before he ever...
And he tries to be all gracious.
Right.
And yeah.
So I think it would be better to have someone more suave. So I think Mads Mikkelsen's going to go out too. So I'm going to say John Malkovich for that role.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else that you wanted to talk about casting-wise?
Well, those are the main ones that I cast because I think the rest of them you could kind of cut and paste. Right. I did give some thought to the henchman.
Yeah, I gave thought to that.
And I thought, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go geriatric with the henchman. Because I thought there would be some comedy to be had to have old people chasing each other over the top of the train. But also, there's some unbelievability there.
Right.
So I don't know how far you push that, but I didn't have any specifics in mind. It's hard to replace that guy with the giant metal teeth, the tall guy.
Reese.
Yeah.
I came up with George Murashin. Who actually...
Oh, the Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
The huge Frenchman.
Yes.
Yes.
So he's done a lot of different films. He did a Billy Crystal movie even, but I won't hold that against him. And he was a basketball player before his movie career. But he's also a little bit older, but not too old. So
he
does
play that role of the... He stands up in a room and everybody goes, oh, yeah.
So I thought he would be good for Reese.
That's a good... That would fit with the older... Yeah.
Just because he's old doesn't mean he's not big still.
Yeah, he'd still be huge.
And, you know, all you have to do is shoot him with a harpoon anyway. Now, I do want to bring up, I told you this, that character of Reese with the metal teeth was, this is 1976, this film was, the two movies where he plays Jaws in Bond was 1977 and 1979, respectively. Hmm. They kind of copied off of this character. So I thought that was interesting.
Did he have metal teeth in real life?
No.
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 That's weird.
So I thought maybe this film actually influenced a bit.
I don't see how it couldn't have.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe he was cast for the role and he's like, you know what was great?
Metal teeth.
Who knows? The only character I had in mind, that's the main cast. Mm. I just wanted to add Rita Babtree's that old woman in the film. I thought Betty White would just be hilarious in that.
And talk about totally fit the mode, yeah. the geriatric mode. I did give some thought to...
She could even hit on the main character.
Yeah,
now.
And it would work. I gave some thought to the federal agent, Sweet.
Oh, yeah, Sweet. I had Sweet. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, who did you have for Sweet first?
Alec Baldwin.
Ooh. Okay, I'll take yours. I couldn't settle on it, but he would be perfect, like, slimy, hitting on you insurance salesman.
But then
switch over to I'm a serious agent. But it'd still be funny.
Yeah.
So I'm going to steal yours. You've been stealing mine. I'm going to steal yours on that one. I think Alec Baldwin would be great for that part.
Well, we're shaping up a good movie. This is awesome. So casting done. We've already talked about we've actually talked about a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
So is there any aspect of the plot besides what you've already addressed that you'd like to change?
Well, the geriatric thing in informs a lot of what you would change. Like the action scenes become less action scenes now and become much more comedy centric.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, my hip. Oh, I left my pills in there. Oh, you know, whatever you want to, you know,
but even then, that. The action, quote unquote, most of it was George getting tossed around. Yes. He never actually like throws a punch barely.
But in that whole getting thrown off the train 3 times, you'd have to be careful with that because people of a certain age can only get thrown off a train once.
And there's got to be a lot of hay bales around or something.
That's right. And they're not going to get back up.
Yeah.
So you'd have to figure that out. And to be honest, in the original film, getting thrown off the train 3 times seemed kind of excessive and repetitive to me.
Okay.
So I was like, I don't think we have to do this many times. It's a funny joke, but...
Well, maybe he doesn't have to get thrown off, but he gets off the train a couple times, plot-wise, to try and save her.
That could even be funny. He has to go to the bathroom. Mm. So it just depends on how far you want to push the comedy versus the suspense and the action. I think what you do have to do, this is going to sound silly coming from the cast that we've done up, but you spend the money on this, I think you have to crash a full-size train.
It has to happen, yes.
Because a computer train, it's just not going to work. And so I don't care if it's a fake full-size train through fake walls, which is what they did in this movie, it seemed like.
It was,
but you got to crash a real train. It has to feel old-fashioned.
A real train, but a fake set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to feel like it's one of those old-fashioned adventure films.
Right.
And if you do a really bad computer crash...
Right. No,
it's not going to work. So you've got to crash a real train.
I think all of the effects in this need to be special effects and not
visual effects.
Yeah, I agree with that. The train scene at the end, I think, is very important to the movie. Let's talk again. Let's go back to the blackface scene. So if we're doing whiteface.
Yes.
Racially, I was just thinking the scene where he's thought of as crazy and this inept sheriff is after him. You could add race into that too. Like, oh, he's a black guy. He's obviously bad. And he's like, I'm the good guy here. I think that would add some good into it as well. And then the last thing, plot-wise in the movie, I wanted to talk about him getting thrown off the train. You've covered it. I think it's important that he gets off and on.
Sure.
He doesn't have to get tossed off every time. I think it's important he gets tossed off at least once because they think they killed him.
Yeah.
So we need at least some way for him to appear dead. Because then he keeps coming back and they're like, how is he coming back? So I think it's important that he gets off and on.
So wait, did you have Betty White playing the lady with the biplane?
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you.
And if you want to go ridiculous, I don't really because I want it to be somewhat believable, but maybe she lands the plane on the going train.
However you want to do it.
However you want to do it. Just get him back on and off a couple times because that's important plot-wise.
Okay.
For him, at least for him to be thought of as dead many times. Because then they, you know, you toss an old guy off the train. How is he not dead?
Yeah.
It's funny because every time he gets thrown off the train, he has a specific phrase. Yes, and I wanted to ask you about as ethically. You and I don't talk that way because of our moral background. However... Yes. Is that something you would want to keep?
Absolutely.
Because is it bad for us to want that in the movie?
Well, and Gene Wilder was a wonderful swearer.
Yeah.
Like, that was You know, when the sheriff, he grabs the sheriff, the gun from the sheriff, and goes on this tirade about he's met some dumb people in his life. Yeah. See, that's you have to keep that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So. It's even better coming from an old guy.
Yeah, exactly. Old grumpy guy, finally letting go.
Yeah. Okay, great, great. So, besides plot, let's talk on just a few of the back aspects, but we're pretty much done with our movie, I think. Last thing I want to talk about was music. It was a very odd musical score for this film. I did notice that,
yeah.
It seemed like a fanciful, fun adventure score, but then with a thriller movie, didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have thoughts about where you would like the score to go?
I actually didn't. I did notice that it was a little bit incongruous with the movie, but I didn't have any thoughts about what I would change.
I had an idea. Again, my movie was a little different, but to do kind of a 70s vibe of music, but modern day film. And with the way it's geriatric now, maybe there are some nods to how they were in the past, and they talk about something that happened in the 50s or the 80s or the 70s.
Or their favorite songs are from the 70s.
Right.
And yeah.
And then when they are like reenacting that kind of stuff, you know, maybe he makes a comment early in the movie. I used to be a great football player back in the 50s. Mm. And then when he tackles someone in the movie, 50s music is playing in the background.
I like that. Recapturing youth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that when they do this action stuff, it's a slightly more believable, but like they're still old people fighting. So I think that would be a cool aspect to the film.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to add to this film?
That's all I've got.
Okay. So we have our new recast, redone Silver Streak.
And can we say Silver Streak has more meaning with the title?
It does.
Because now it's all about old people. So
definitely have to have some silver hair in there.
That's right.
Great. I love it. If you agree with us, please let us know in the comments. If you do not, please let us know in the comments. Because I'd like to know what your opinion is of the movies. And also, if there's any other films you would like us to do here, please let us know, and we'll put them on our list, our queue. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.